Blog Talk Radio.
Morning, everyone. Welcome to Preacherville and the Gospel Hour message. It's 1/14/2018. Sorry about the delay this morning, folks. Things around here are a little hectic trying to get things done. I'd like to get started right away, but I want to do a song as always. So I'm going to play the song. We do have some scripture verses for you. Put your finger on 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verses 9 through 11, and we'll get to that as soon as I get back. But here's the song. It'll give everybody a chance to get here, as always. It's a Bill Gaither song, Grace Greater Than Our Sin. I'm going to try to get that up a little louder, too. Being here, folks. Like I said, our message this morning is one that I've been trying to put it together for a couple of days, and I couldn't quite get things right, so I'm not sure how well it's going to turn out for everybody or if it'll make a lot of sense to you, but the title is, Are We Any Better Than a Non-Believer? And the truth of the matter is no. No, we're not. Absolutely not. We're just like them. There isn't any difference in us than there is in the unbeliever. Now, many people would say that's not true. We're saved. Well, let me go through the message and then you tell me, okay? 1 Corinthians in chapter 6 and verse 9 to 11, you'll see that. But before we get started, I want to show you something in prayer. There's a couple of people. This past week it passed away, George Fountain's mom, and Heather Licio, which is his aunt, which we were praying for. Rebecca had brought it up last week about her being in the hospital since Christmas for cancer. And Heather finally passed too, only a few days right after George's mom and their sisters. And they were sisters in Christ, and both of them were good members to the church. So we just ask that you pray for the family. Today there's a service for her down in New Haven, Connecticut, for George's mom and for Heather. It's going to be tough on the folks there, folks, because they lost two sisters in 1 week. And the church really relied on them for a lot and the things that they did for the church. There's a young girl named Hannah. She's 20 years old. Her mom took her to the ER over a tooth infection. It turns out it's a lot worse than it was explained. I'm hoping that that'll get cleared up, that it won't be as bad as what I heard recently. So just pray. Please pray that God would heal her and get rid of the infection that's in her mouth, that it's not what they think it is or is not as bad as they think it is, and all things will work out. I didn't see many other prayer requests this week online, so I'm going to go over a couple that I do know. Sandy Washer is usually always asking for prayers for her friends, and one of them is Bob, and we're going back over that because he has pancreatic cancer. Betty, I think I said it was Brenda last week, but Betty, it says, has pneumonia, and I didn't realize that until now. Betty G's sick. Brenda is recovering from pneumonia. So I'm not sure if I got the two mixed up, Betty and Brenda, but but both of them had pneumonia, and both of them were suffering. Brenda's mom has lung cancer, so pray for Brenda's mom. Richard R., overall health, he's aging, and he's getting up there in age, so he's got some health issues. Richard P., his knee pain, and for Sandy. Sandy's gone through the loss of her husband over a year now, and the last year, and she's still going through a lot and trying to get past it and deal with life just as a regular person now, all by herself without her husband. So those are the ones we pray for, and Father, we just ask you, work in all of our hearts today. Use the message to guide us and strengthen us and be able to do the right thing. And I hope that people that are listening, that it would touch your heart, that it would work in your heart and see where God really wants to work in you. But he can't work in you if you're not willing to do your part. And it's not just reading the Bible. It's not just sharing the gospel, folks. God really wants for you to do the things that are yours and your responsibilities that he has written out in Scripture for you. So, folks, if you would, look those things up. Try to find out what it is, what your responsibilities are, and then go from there and see that God can work in your life. Like I said this morning, you know, God touches us and he works in our heart. But he can only do that if we ask him to and if we allow him to. And that means we have to stop doing some of the things we used to do. Well, folks, I thank you for being here. God bless you. Lord, we just ask in Jesus' name that you would answer those prayers and work in our hearts and save those that are sick and save those that are lost, folks. Father, we pray for the ones that are having to deal with the church down in Connecticut today, that they go through all the sorrows, but they know that their sisters are in heaven. I thank you for being here. God bless you and have a good morning. And the message this morning, like I said, is out of 1 Corinthians. We're going to start there. Because we think we're believers, we think we're better than somebody else, or we're special, or that we're not going to sin, or that our life is much greater than the next person. I mean, I've had fingers pointed at me where people have called me a hypocrite because they say, well, you claim to be a Christian. But really, truly, folks, being a Christian doesn't mean I'm not going to sin. It doesn't mean I'm not going to make a mistake. And it doesn't mean that when I point out someone's, that I'm judging them. It's how I point out their faults. Amen? If we do it with a loving spirit like Jesus did, if we do it as Jesus wants us to do, which is to share the gospel and explain to them what sin is and what sin isn't, that's not judging them. That's pointing out how God would like for them to change their life to do as he asked so they could have the blessings and the joy that God has for them. 1 Corinthians 6:9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. And that's why I say we are no better than the non-believer. Because some of us were just like that. We were either drunkards, we were fighters, we were revelers, we were extortioners, we were thieves, we were adulterers, effeminate, or idolaters, and fornicators, and abusers of ourselves. You look those terms up, folks, and you'll find, believe me when I tell you this, I don't care what life you have, that you're involved in sin somewhere that needs to be confessed and be repented. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You see, when you ask to be saved, when you ask to get to know Jesus, when you seek the Lord diligently with all your heart, you start to realize the sins that go on in your life, and then you are no better than them. And when I say them, now there's some parts in Scripture that's talking about the Jews and the Gentiles, okay? And that's in Romans. If you go into Romans 1, 2, 3, and I might even be a little bit further, but if you look at Romans as a whole, starting right off in the beginning, Paul was trying to explain to the Jews, just because they follow by the law, doesn't mean that they're without sin. And because they follow the law but don't believe in Jesus Christ does not mean that they're going to heaven. And it also does not mean that God's a liar and that Jesus isn't real and that Jesus was not sent. It doesn't make him a liar. It doesn't make it false. Romans, in the first couple chapters, speaks of the difference of those being Jewish and that they live in the law, but yet they sin, and those that are Gentiles that live without the law, but they live by faith, and God has no respect of persons in that all fall short of the glory of God and are unrighteous. And yet we judge, forgetting the righteousness of God that led us to repentance. And if we'll look at this, I want to show you a couple of things. As I correct my page, I got to move some things around. It says in Romans, in chapter 2, 1, I'm going to grab my scripture Bible. Well, hang on a second. In scriptures, it says that we are Gentiles. In 2, let's look at 2 here. It says, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest dost the same things. And he's talking about the law. He's talking about how if we look at the Ten Commandments and if we look at the other commandments of God, we're judging others by those commandments. And we're not doing it with love, but we're doing it in a vicious way, saying that we're better than them because we don't break those laws. Yet we all break those laws, because if we didn't, then God would be a liar. But we are sure, in verse 2, that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do so or do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God. You see, you can't do these things against the scriptures. And if you refuse to believe in Jesus Christ, you're going against the commandments of God. If you believe in Jesus Christ, but you don't try to live by the law or try to at least live the best you can according to God's commandments. Now, God knows already who is and who is not going to believe. He knew that before you were born, and he knew that there was going to come a time somewhere along the line that you would end up being the person you are. I got to fix this. My music just went on. There are things, like I said, folks, that we don't understand. We just don't get it, right? We don't understand the Bible. Sometimes we don't understand the scriptures. But the scriptures are clear. Keep in mind, judging in Romans, too, is about accusing of sin by the law, not with grace of love. That does not mean you do not go to a friend or speak with a stranger concerning the sins of the flesh. By speaking to someone in love and explaining the sin or sins, you are not accusing, but pointing out that in God's love, the person can be yanked from the flames now and not suffer the death of the spirit later on. And that, see, a lot of people think, oh, you're just trying to tell me I got to change my life and I got to live differently and I don't want to live that way. Well, then what you're saying is you don't want to believe Jesus Christ. You don't want to believe the Bible. You don't want to follow what God tells you you're supposed to be doing. And you want to serve yourself. And serving yourself is serving the devil. And serving the devil, you might as well take the mark on your forehead now and serve Satan. Okay? Or the mark in your hand, I should say. Surely your sins will find you out, I put in my note. Because all of your sins are going to be found out, folks. If you think that you can do something in the dark and nobody sees it, or if you think you can do something without being found out, guess what? That's not true. Like the writing on the wall by the hand when the prophet had seen it, and he was asked by the king to explain that prophecy of the writing on the wall. He said, you can hide down here in this cave all you want, but God knows you're down here and he knows you're doing what you're doing. But in Numbers 32:23, it says, but if he will not do so, and he was talking then, to soldiers and armies that were supposed to go to war to fight the good fight as Christians and eliminate the sinners and eliminate those that were trying to kill the Christians. These people said, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to hide over here. We're going to go someplace else. Well, in chapter 32 in Numbers, verse 23, he says, but if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. In other words, you're not going to go hide anywhere. The people were instructed to go. If they don't do it, they're disobeying God. If you disobey God, then you're not going to be shown the mercy, and you're not going to be shown grace. And if you don't believe me, keep disobeying God. And while your life is falling apart, you can only ask yourself one thing. Was I doing what God asked me to do? Was I doing what I was supposed to do as a Christian? Because, you see, you are no better than those that are out there in the world, living as the world, if you're not doing what God asked you to do. Surely your sin's going to find you out. Now, there's a lot, folks, I could go into. One of the things it says here in my notes in John 3:1, it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, He was a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. See, they knew that he was somebody special, but they didn't know whether he was or was not the Christ. And they tried to act like, oh, he's just a miracle maker. But Jesus wasn't just that. Jesus didn't just come to heal those that are brokenhearted. He didn't come to heal the sick. Jesus didn't come to keep you alive on this planet forever. Jesus came to save you from your sinful life, to keep you from living in hell for the rest of whatever's left, and that's up to God. But God says you'll be cast into outer darkness, gnawing and gnashing of teeth, burning in the flames of hell forever. And forever doesn't end. That means forever. Eternity is what it says. But Nicodemus, now, if you look at this, it says, Jesus answered to him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. If you want to see the kingdom of God, folks, then you must get born again. And those that are non-believers will never get born again until they believe. He says, right here, he says, Jesus answered and said unto them, Truly, truly, or verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again. How can you be born again? Nicodemus says this. He says unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And what's being born of the water? Being born of the water means baptism. The only way you're different than them that are non-believers is because you were called of God, like I said in the beginning. He knows who's going to get saved. He knows who's going to ignore him. And a lot of people would think that, you know, if God is such a good God, why would he let me go through all this stuff? Well, doesn't he say in his Bible, he says he gives you free will. How many of you are so stubborn that all you'll do is listen to yourself, but you won't listen to the preacher? How many of you are so stubborn that you'll still continue to hear the preacher, know the truth, and yet go out and continue to live the way you do? You know the truth out of the scriptures because you've looked at it, or it's been preached to you or taught to you, and yet you seem to forget that you should be praising God for all that he does for you, picking up a Bible, reading it, understanding it, studying it. When you don't understand it, seek someone that does and ask them for help so you can understand it. And then once you do understand your responsibility to God and what your responsibility is as a person living on God's planet, then you start to realize that your responsibility does not lie in self, because you've done nothing but serve self. And in doing so, who is selfish but Satan? God says you're to love one another. You're supposed to be serving one another. It even talks about how you should be washing one another's feet, even though we don't do that nowadays. Now, I'm not saying you go out and wash one another's feet, but God's trying to make a point here. The things that we would most likely want not to do, he wants to do because they're good for us and what's right for us. When we won't do what the Lord's asking us to do, I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's providing for your family. I don't care if it's making your wife happy, your husband happy, or your children happy, or doing the things to help your neighbor or help the people down the street. Those are acts of kindness. Those are acts that God asked you to do. Now, they won't get you to heaven. Don't misunderstand me. You can do all the good works you want. I had this conversation this past week. Good works do not get you to heaven. What gets you to heaven is being a believer in Jesus Christ, which makes you different than the non-believer right there in itself because you're a believer. And if you're a believer, then you'll want to do what Christ asked you to do. Nicodemus said unto him, How can you be born again? He said, Look, get baptized. Find out how to understand who the Spirit is, what the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit comes into you as soon as you start asking Jesus to come into your life and change you. He says here in verse 6, That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. He said, Believe me, I'm telling you, you get the Spirit, you get life. If you want to live in the flesh, all you get is flesh. If you want to serve the world and be like that with the world, then you can be like the world. The problem with being like the world, folks, I got to tell you, all you're going to get out of being like the world is the stuff the world offers, and the world offers you nothing good. Satan promises you plenty of things, and then he watches you fall, and he laughs at you like a person who fell down, and people stand in the crowd, and instead of helping them up, laugh. You're not doing what God asked you to do. A godly person goes over, picks them up, helps them up, and says, I'm sorry you fell down. Is there anything I can do to help you? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You see, when you become a new creature, you become washed in the blood. When you become washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, you don't have to worry about the sin that's in your life. You don't have to worry about all those things that went wrong. Jesus wasn't kidding when he said in Romans 3:5, but if our righteousness commendeth our unrighteousness commends the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who takes vengeance? You see, our unrighteousness calls to God for God to correct us and make us right. And that makes us different than the non-believer. That means we're willing to change. That means when we look in our Bible, we're willing to do what God asks us to do. If I give my sin life up to be corrected in righteousness, or my unrighteousness is exchanged for righteousness by the chastising of God, which means I feel guilty, I go repent. If I feel guilty, I know I'm wrong. When you feel any sense of guilt, you should be looking at what that guilt is directed from. Is it God saying to you, that's the wrong way to live? Or is it feel guilty and not just go take what's yours? Because God says, don't take anything. I'll give it to you. Just like he gave you the son. You know, if as it says, I speak as a man, it says at the end of that verse, because he says, I give my sin life to you in unrighteousness, that you would correct me, that you would chastise me, that you would punish me. And God says, no one should be punished. Except God should have the righteousness to punish you because he knows the difference in just how to get you to come back around so that your sin life now, you won't want nothing to do with for your own good. You want free will, you can have free will, like the prodigal son who took his inheritance and then went and squandered it all and ended up living in pig squalor until he finally realized, I guess I should go home and be like a servant to my father. My servants live better than I do. You see, God says the same thing. He says, if you want to live in the world in that slop, you go right ahead. I'll gladly let you. I don't have to change you. You're supposed to want to change to be a good Christian. Now, there's many of us that will say, I'm a believer and I'm not like the non-believers. I beg of you to check your life. Check yourself at the door, folks. Take a good look at your life and go see if you're following what the Bible tells you to do. Because while you're not living right, people around you are seeing that, and it's affecting them in their life. It's making them feel as though they can be just like you and not live by the Bible and be a non-believer, and they don't have to get saved, because if God will save you, which is a wretched soul who says that they're a Christian and doesn't live right, then why should they bother to change? You're a fool if you think that they should have to change when you don't want to do right. We're to be examples. It says that we're supposed to be peculiar people, which means we're very different then. And different than what? What did I say? I said that you are, some of us are fornicators, some of us are idolaters, some of us are revelers, some are extortioners. You won't inherit the kingdom of God because you're an adulterer, you're an effeminate, you're an abuser. And adultery, folks, I've got to tell you, I looked up adultery in Scripture, right? It's not just adultery as two people fooling around. It's your adultery towards Jesus Christ, who happens to be your husband, and you're to be the bride. And I don't care whether you want to take that as man or woman, it doesn't make any difference to me. But you're supposed to be connected to Jesus and Jesus only. And when you cheat him, you're an adulterer. And idolaters are the people that would put more time into work every day and not put enough time into their family. They put more time into work and they would neglect their family all for the love of money. Or they go out and they join sports clubs and they hang out with the baseball players all day long and all weekend long and forget that they have children at home or a wife at home that needs them. Or they spend all their time nowadays on their cell phone or their computer, and they neglect their spouse or their mother or their father. How many of you are aggravated because your children will be on the cell phone when they're visiting or when they're at the table or when you see them, they're walking down the street and they're on a cell phone? See, they're neglecting something. They're neglecting themselves. They're busy playing around on a phone. Now, if that phone was so important to them, then why aren't they going and doing something about it and either taking care of the situation so that they aren't on the phone? Because honestly, folks, if you're not spending time with God, then you're neglecting God as a whole. That's what that's about. If you're going to be better than somebody, be better than the old person you were. Get saved. Get baptized. Read your Bible and let the Holy Spirit work in you. And then you can be just like that. Then you can turn around and say, I'm a Christian. I'm not a non-believer. I'm doing the best I can. I want to live right. Thank you for being here, folks. I've got another song for you. I'm going to go back and try and find it, if I can, because I might have lost it. Let's see. No, here we go. Hang on a minute. I'm going to play this. It'll play out the last couple of minutes, and I'll try to get back before the message closes out. It's George Beverly Shea. He touched me. Thank you for being here, folks. Come find me, William Preacher Bill Barnes, on Facebook. I thank you. I hope the message made some sense to you. God bless you and have a good day. We'll see you again next Sunday.